If you've been with us these past 5 weeks, you should be pretty well protected by now. Together, we've taken a close look at the spiritual armor God has prepared for all of us who follow Him. Just as with any soldier gearing up for battle, every piece of our protection is crucial because we can only be as strong as our weakest point. To be effective in the spiritual realm, each part of our armor, from head to toe, must be in place. And that's why we've taken the time to unfold this entire series. And that's why we'll conclude with one more message, this one on the importance of prayer. That ought to blanket every battlefield before, during, and after the final arrows fly. I pray that you've been encouraged and emboldened by what we've studied together, and it continues to be a joy for me to minister to you in this way. May God continue to extend His peace and His grace to you. What in the world makes us so embarrassed about the gospel? I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Well, tonight we're looking at Ephesians 6 and bringing to its conclusion a look at the armor of God, the believer's armor from this chapter. Timing is good since we're really getting into the busyness of the holiday season, and trying to compete with that and collide with that is a great challenge in the weeks to come in the future. Now, in looking at the text of the armor of the believer, it starts in verse 10. Let me read it for you. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, praying at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And we'll stop at that point. When all is said and done, when all is in place, verse 18 brings us to the culmination. Take all this armor. Put it on. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. You might think that there's nothing you lack, but that would be wrong. We are all vulnerable. We can all stumble. We can all fall into sin. We can all be defeated along the way. We can bring dishonor on the Lord and shame on His church. We can wound ourselves in the matter of sin and disobedience to the degree that we destroy our personal testimony and our opportunity for service and usefulness to the Lord. We can forfeit our joy. And Paul says at the end of everything, you must realize that even with all that you have, remaining sin is so powerful, and Satan himself has devised such a mighty force in the evil in the world system that you need constant submission to God in prayer. You have to depend on Him. I think it's a latent danger that Christians who have a knowledge of doctrine who have a very strong knowledge of doctrine, a fairly effective grip on principles of living the Christian life, can become satisfied. And that sort of heart-rending, passionate, constant dependence on God isn't there. And that is sin. And that is dangerous. So Paul closes this great letter, the final crescendo, the music peaks out in a call to prayer. Prayer is the breath of the Christian's life. Prayer is the air which we breathe. As the human body exists in an atmosphere and takes in the air, because the air forces its way in, so the believer should be living in an attitude of prayer in which the need to come before God forces its way in. You don't have to try to breathe. The air makes you breathe. Just try holding your breath. It's easy to breathe. It's hard to hold your breath. For the believer, it's easy to pray. It's hard not to pray. You have to work at it. Because this is our communion. This is how we inhale spiritually. Christian is like a special class of animal called cetaceous animals I read about. Neither fish nor fowl inhabits the depth of the sea. The sea is their home. They never leave the sea. They swim in the darkest depths of the sea and yet are compelled at certain intervals to rise to the surface to grasp some air. That is how it is for us. We might live at the depth of theological understanding, but we need to come up for that air that sustains our life. The Christian, only by ever ascending to God, rising to breathe in constant prayer, maintains the fullness of spiritual life. All of us need to be moving throughout all the days and hours of our lives in the presence of the Lord. That's the general essence of what this is coming to. And if you just looked at Ephesians and you just sort of plopped down at verse 18, it might not have the impact that it would have if you were able to understand everything I've told you tonight. This, in some ways, is the culminating reality of the book. And without an understanding of what comes before, you don't get that. You might treat this statement about prayer like so many other statements about prayer. Prayer seems for most people to be something of an option. But here, it's the culmination of everything. On top of everything, with all your blessings and all the armor, praying at all times. So let's talk about this instruction for a minute. Pas, the Greek word for all, is used four times in this verse. Four times. All. We understand then that this is pervasive. This is important. This is far-reaching. So let's talk about the elements that fall under the category of all. First of all, the frequency of prayer. Pray at all times. Pray at all times. That's the frequency of prayer. What does that mean? Just exactly what it says. There doesn't need to be an explanation of that. Jesus said in Luke 21:36, watch and pray always. The early apostles said in Acts 6:4, we will give ourselves continually to prayer. It was said about Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 that he prayed to God always. Paul in Romans 12:12 says, continue diligently in prayer. In Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In famous 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without what? Ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Paul did that. 2 Timothy 1:3, without ceasing, he says, I have remembrance of you in my prayers night and day. The idea here is constancy. If you see something good, what is your immediate response to what is good? It is to offer God thanks and praise and adoration. You see evil. You see sin. What is your response? You ask Him to make it right. You confess it. You pray for the sinner. You grieve that God is dishonored, that His name is reproached. You ask God to vindicate Himself and to bring righteousness where there is only iniquity. You see trouble. You see people in distress. What is your initial response? To go to God and ask that God will somehow be honored in the distress and bring a deliverance that can glorify His name. It's simply living your life in that kind of dominant God consciousness so that God is the filter through which every experience passes. I see everything that way. Absolutely everything. Good, bad, indifferent, minor, major, big picture, small picture. I see everything that way. If you will, I have God-colored glasses. Everything I see is viewed through my understanding of God. David said that, I have set the Lord always before me. I have set the Lord always before me. Everything in life is filtered through that God-enhanced vision. There's no waking moment, then, that prayer cannot rise. It isn't a time that you wait for. It's a life that you live. It's a God-conscious life. It's not just finding a list of requests and going over it, although that's part of it. It's not just having a prescribed prayer time, although that's certainly part of it, private place. It's much more than that. It's that every single thing in your life is something to talk to God about. Everything. Everything. When Paul said in Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer, he used a verb, kartareo, which means to be steadfast and constant. The same verb used in Hebrews 11:27, speaking of Moses, enduring. It's the enduring attitude of prayer. It's to hang in there with strength. It's not then an easygoing God consciousness. It's a struggling, persevering love of righteousness and love of the honor of God and desire to see God exalted and glorified. And that's where the struggle lies. And so the prayer is always, Lord, glorify Yourself somehow through this. I may not understand it. It may be against the grain of everything that I think makes sense. So show Yourself powerful. Bring honor to Yourself. This is a part of the persistence in prayer that Jesus talked about in the story of the man who kept knocking and kept knocking and kept knocking, and because of his much knocking, he received what he wanted from someone who didn't even care about him. And the point that our Lord is making, if somebody who doesn't care will give you what you want just because you bug him, what will God give you when He loves you if you're persistent? Prayer is a constant God consciousness, but it's not an easygoing God consciousness. It's a struggling God consciousness because you're struggling with the world and the way it is because you love to see God honored. You love to see Him glorified. Second aspect of prayer. First is the frequency. The second is the variety. Here's another use of the word all. With all prayer and petition. First one, pray at all times. Second, pray with all prayer and petition, or the old word, supplication. What does that mean? All kinds of prayers. You pray all the time, you pray all kinds of prayers. Public, private, verbal, silent, loud, soft, deliberate, planned, unplanned, spontaneous, requests, thanks, confession, humiliation, praise. Standing, kneeling, lying down, lifting up your hands, putting your hands down, you name it. Every kind of prayer, expressive of every emotional attitude, of every kind of thinking and every kind of circumstance. That's the idea. Pray all kinds of prayer. Prasuke. Prayer in general. All kinds of petition. Deasis. Definite prayer. Pray all kinds of petitions. Pray every definite prayer in every way, in every manner, on every occasion. It's like 1 Timothy 2:8, I will that all men everywhere pray. Pray. In the general pattern of life, in the specific issues of life, we are to pray. And this is part of our defense. This is part of the armor. This is part of our protection. This is what allows us to defeat the schemes of Satan. It's the kind of living that opens up our resources to the flow of God's power. Pray in every way you can possibly pray, in every kind of prayer, in every circumstance which calls for prayer. It is to be in variety. It is varied as the needs. We pray prayers of thanksgiving, don't we? We come together and worship. Sometimes our prayers are filled with joy. Sometimes our exuberance is manifest in our praying. And then there are times when we pray and our eyes are filled with tears. And there are all the range of emotions that we experience as human beings which give rise to certain kinds of prayers. There are all kinds of circumstances, good, bad, and indifferent, horrible as well as wonderful, that draw out prayer. And the third thing he talks about is the manner of prayer. With all prayer and petition, praying at all times. And the manner, it says, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition. Let's just take the word perseverance here. What we've got here is the frequency all the time, the variety, all kinds of prayer, the manner with perseverance and alertness. In other words, you need to know what you're praying about. Watch. Mark 14:38, Jesus said, watch and pray. 1 Peter 4:7, watch unto prayer. Incessant attentiveness, vigilance, alertness. Pick out specifics. Most people, I think, don't pray in a persevering way unless some personal tragedy strikes them. Then they do. But that really manifests our tendency, doesn't it, to be selfish. We don't get consumed with the things that consume the heart of Christ. We tend to get consumed with the things that affect us. We're a little less sometimes consumed with the things that affect others. Persevering prayer on behalf of those things that are a concern to the heart of God, which is everything that occurs within the framework of His purpose in His kingdom, should be the mark of a believer who is mature, watching beyond ourselves, persevering in an all-consuming devotion to prayer. Colossians chapter 4 is a good illustration of this. Epaphras, who is one of your number, Paul says to the Colossians, a slave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings. Always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. I bear him witness, he has a deep concern for you. This is somebody who was a persevering person who watched, who saw needs, and who prayed faithfully in an all-consuming effort. And then there's another all here, the fourth one. These prayers are to be offered, end of the verse, for all the saints. The frequency of prayers at all times. The variety of prayers, all kinds of prayers. The manner of prayer, watching at all times so you don't miss anything. And here, the indirect object of prayer. What is the indirect object? All the saints. The direct object is whom? God. Because in the end, John 14, the promise is this, that whatever you ask in my name, I will do it that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The direct object of all prayer is God. You pray to God for God's glory. The indirect object is the saints. You pray for the saints by means of those saints, God may display His glory. So, when you want to glorify God, you pray, God, glorify yourself by putting your power on display, your grace on display, your mercy on display, your wisdom on display, your truth on display, by answering this prayer concerning these saints. So you pray indirectly for the saints, directly for the glory of God. This is critical. That the direction of our prayers is outside of us, okay? For all the saints. Praying at all times, in all kinds of prayers, all varieties of prayers, with all alertness and all perseverance for all the saints. This is how the body of Christ operates. The Christian is not to think only of his own conflict, but that of the whole body. Not to be concerned only with his own issues, but those of the whole body. In fact, there's a certain sense in which you have a basic indifference to what happens to you. If it glorifies God, bring it on. Whatever, Lord, you need to do in my life to glorify yourself, do that. Help me to discern your glory even in the things I don't understand in my life. You pray, of course, lead us not into temptation, but that's us. Of course, you're included in that. But it's a bigger picture. We need to understand that part of the body of Christ function is praying for each other. And this, of course, is the epistle in which there is so much important instruction about the life of the body of Christ in chapter 4. Now, in the midst of all of this, there is one other statement that we need to consider. All of this occurs in the Spirit. All of this occurs in the Spirit. All the variety of prayer, all the times of prayer, all of the things that cause us to pray and persevere in prayer, and all the saints for whom we pray, all our praying needs to be in the Spirit. In the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, for years, charismatics and Pentecostals have told us it means speaking in tongues. Doesn't mention that at all. That is never a biblical description of praying in the Spirit. What it means is to pray in harmony with the Holy Spirit. Pray consistently with the mind and will of the Spirit. And a clear understanding of that is granted to us in the 8th chapter of Romans, if you'll look at it for a moment. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. The Spirit helps our weakness. We don't know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. That is just one of the most encouraging verses in all the Bible. Here we are, we're believers. He's talking about us. He's saying we need help because we don't even know what to pray for. We don't know how to pray. There are things that we can't anticipate. There are things that are too complicated for us to know which direction to direct our prayers. We don't always know what to pray for or how to pray. So the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Some people think that means speaking in tongues. No, it's not us speaking gibberish. It's the Holy Spirit praying for us with a kind of groaning that can't be audibilized. And verse 27 says, he who searches the hearts, that's God, knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Would you believe this? That the Spirit knows how to pray for you. Yes. Omniscient. That the Father knows what you need. That the Spirit prays in perfect accord with the will of the Father. Verse 27. He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So when you're praying in the Spirit, it is simply praying consistently with the mind of the Spirit and the will of God. We don't always know what that is, but we know a lot about what that is, because God has disclosed His will in Scripture. Praying in the Spirit simply means praying in perfect harmony and perfect accord with the mind of the Spirit of God and the will of God. It's a magnificent concept. It has nothing to do with speaking in tongues. It has nothing to do with some ecstatic language. It is even true that Galatians 4 gives us a further insight into this ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is so wonderful. Because you are sons, verse 6, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. And what's He saying? Crying, Abba, Father. That's an amazing statement. Because you are a son, God has placed His Holy Spirit in you. And from within you, the Spirit on your behalf is crying, Abba, Father. In other words, the Spirit is interpreting what it means to be an intimate child of God for you. He is pleading for those things that belong to you because God is your Papa. This is Spirit-driven, Spirit-directed prayer.
After spending so much time studying together the armor of God, I'm kind of sad to see it end. It's been a wonderful journey through Scripture, and I've enjoyed taking it with you. If you've missed any of the previous 5 broadcasts, the complete series is also available on DVD. It's longer even than the TV version and goes into greater depth, if you can imagine that. And if you're a reader like me, you'll enjoy John's book on spiritual warfare titled Standing Strong. Of course, those are just a couple of the thousands of Bible teaching resources available at Grace to You. You can find out more by visiting us online. If there's any way we can minister to you, we want to do it. That's why we're here. See you next week on Grace to You.